Welcome to week 125 of All the Balls. That's Jake Platter. I'm Justin Miller. We're here brought to you by the Good Good Solutions for hats all over the country. No, what is that? Oh, yeah, it's golf.
It's a golf hat.
What's going on, Jake?
Week, not much.
Week 125.
Yep.
Halfway to 250.
Whoa.
Halfway to us being 30 almost? No. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
not on the show.
It was an interesting weekend, I can tell you that. I mean, the NFL playoffs started. We started at 14 teams. We're down to 8. We have, in my opinion, I think we have 4 very good games coming up this weekend on divisional weekend. We'll get more into that. But, oh my God, I mean, going in, I didn't think a lot of these games would be close. What the hell are you doing? I've never seen that before. But overall, I think we got a very, very nice slate of football this weekend between all 6 games. We'll get into that for in a second here. But speaking on last night's game real quick, going with Tom Brady obviously losing and
Tom Brady lost.
All the drama that happened in that one last night. That was a no contest.
I thought they won.
What, you turn the game on off at the end of the first 5 minutes?
No.
Nah, but either way, you think he's coming back next season?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm leaning that way as well because he doesn't want to end. I mean, most likely you're going to end on a loss either way because only way you go out with a win is a Super Bowl
or
regular last season. Regular season game. But I don't think Brady wants to walk out on that
on
game.
On a wild card loss with a trash performance. Yeah.
7-0 against the Cowboys before that one, and now he's 7-1. But to Dallas, really? You don't want to go out your last game being Dallas.
I agree. It's not about Dallas to me. I think he just doesn't want to stop playing football.
He did say 45. He is 45 right now. But, I mean,
things change, brother.
You think he still has it?
Yeah. I mean, it's an interesting thing to talk about because
he's top 15 in the NFL,
I was going to say the exact same thing. I think he is an above-average quarterback. I almost want to remove the elite tag from him because he just didn't show it to me this year. I'm not talking about the game anymore. I'm talking about the whole year. He didn't show me what I consider an elite quarterback presence. He has got great talent, some of the best weapons in the league.
Hey, what's going on,
and,
kid?
And he just wasn't doing it this year. So I'm going to say he is an above average quarterback, but he is no longer elite.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, for any of you that watched the season this season, the guy obviously still has a magnificent arm. He's great in situations on the football field like he has always been. And obviously he can't run, but he never could run. But a lot of the situation, in my opinion, for this team this season was the offensive line. I don't think Tampa Bay's offensive line was that great at all.
It was beat up early.
They lost their center. They were flip-flopping guys from the tackles, the guard positions, the center positions. So, yeah, do I think he comes back? He 100% still has it. He's obviously not what he was in his prime. He's 45 years old. But you go around the league, and he has to be better than at least half of the guys that are starting for teams right now.
Yeah, I completely agree.
I mean, not going to go into it now, but even some of the guys in the playoffs, there are some good quarterbacks, but I think he matches up with Geno Smith. He matches up with Brock Purdy. We don't know much about.
This is so rude. You're talking with Tom Brady, and you're like, I'm pretty sure he matches up with Geno Smith and Daniel Jones.
I mean, I'm talking now, but yeah, 2 years ago, we'd be like, what? Daniel Jones and Tom Brady on the same boat?
Geno Smith in the conversation? He's a backup.
But yeah, this guy, he still has it. I mean, even that throw last night, who was it? Julio Jones, the one that got in the end zone?
That was a good throw.
That was a phenomenal throw that a lot of those guys would make.
He throws. I mean, it's the interceptions, you know, like that. That was a terrible interception. It's
first red zone interception since 2019. And I mean, that's a throw that he would throw in the third row. But
yeah, I don't know what the hell he was doing.
And I've never seen a throw like that from him before. Just maybe the power. I mean, obviously as you get older, you don't have, your body parts start hurting.
Sometimes parts start, yeah.
So maybe that's where we're at with him. But like we said, if he does come back, which we both think he will come back next season, I think there's a couple of landing spots that stick out more than others.
Sure.
But we're going to get into 5.
Okay.
That's all we have time for.
I didn't put Tampa Bay in my 5, but I do think it's possible he comes back. He's like a ring-chasing veteran to me at this point.
I went with an extreme wild card for my number 5 spot.
Do you have Tampa Bay in your 5, though?
Yeah.
Okay, so I don't. I listed 5 other places, but frankly, I think the most likely thing is he returns to Tampa Bay. So I put 5 other places he could end up.
So we're not talking about Tampa Bay?
No.
So number 5 for me, like I said, this is an extreme.
Are we talking about realistic landing spots?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I don't think there's that many. I think there's really I think there's really three, probably.
I listed seven, not including Tampa Bay.
I think there's three realistic landing spots, including Tampa Bay. But number five, I'm going to go out of the blue. A team that wasn't in the playoffs this season.
Ooh, four of mine are not in the playoffs.
Yeah, so my first two aren't. But my number five, they're not in the playoffs this season. They actually don't have a head coach right now. It's in a beautiful area. Of course, Tom wants to be in a place where the weather's pretty nice, I assume.
Yeah.
It's a team that's not great, but if they hire the right head coach, if they hire the right or sign where the right quarterback.
Don't say Charlotte.
It's in Arizona.
Oh, okay.
The Arizona Cardinals.
Really?
We'd have to convince Hopkins to stay, obviously.
And Kyler's just going to walk away?
There's discussions what's going on. He's a weird guy, Kyler Murray. I could see him.
I don't think Arizona's a realistic landing spot.
That's my wild card.
Not on my list. My number five is a place I'm sure Brady would love to play, but I don't necessarily think that they are as interested in him as they were at another point in time. That's the San Francisco 49ers. I think that Brady grew up in the area. He's a Niners fan. It's a team that, frankly, their weakest position is quarterback. I just don't think that they are going to pull the trigger on Tom Brady when they are relying on Trey Lance to return and be their guy.
They go week by week with this Jimmy G, Trey Lance.
I don't know. I disagree. I think Trey Lance would have been the starter the whole year if he was healthy. I think they still want him to be the starter. I think they drafted him in the top three for a reason. He's the future of the San Francisco 49ers, and I don't think that they think it's a wise move long term. Look how good they are with Brock Purdy, by the way.
Yeah, they're fine.
So
they have a great system.
Do you really think they need to say, let's screw over our future franchise quarterback so we can have Tom Brady for a year? I think they think they can win with whoever they play a quarterback, so I don't think they're going to try and get Brady, but...
They would welcome him with open arms.
Okay. Sure.
Number four for me, probably won't happen. Got to be in the top five, a return to New England.
I didn't put it in mine either.
They're going with Mac Jones, there's no question about it. But, I mean...
I just don't think he and Belichick will ever play together
again. All these fans, we get geeked up. I mean, a reunion, one final year. I think the weapons, as crazy as it seems, even though Tampa Bay has Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, I don't think it's that much of a drop-off right now from what they have in New England. If Devontae Parker stays healthy, Jacoby
Who's
Meyer...
Who's Devontae Parker like? Mike Evans?
He's not like Mike Evans, but... If he stays healthy.
Who's Chris Godwin on our team? Myers?
Myers. It's obviously a downgrade.
Oh, my God.
You'd have a better offensive line.
If you downgraded every position, it's a massive downgrade.
You'd have guys that you can actually hand the ball off that can run the football in, like, Tampa Bay this season.
True.
And you assume they're going to upgrade in the offseason. They have to somewhere. And the defense.
If they got Brady, they obviously would upgrade. They'd try to. They'd spend anything they could.
And it's a reunion, but it's not going to happen.
New England, again, not on my list. Both teams you've said, not on my list. Number four for me is a big wild card. And I don't think anyone's talked about this. I don't think that it will happen. I just think that it's a team that could be good if they had a really good quarterback.
But they don't?
No. That is, any guesses?
The Jets?
I didn't put them on the list. I didn't think Brady would ever do that. No, I put the Washington Commanders.
Yeah, good defense.
It's a solid defense. They got Terry McLaurin. They got good running game with Gibson and Brian Robinson.
Never see Brady go to Washington.
I doubt it, but it's a team that definitely needs a quarterback. And I see, to me, going to Washington doesn't really move the needle if I'm Tom Brady. Like, why would I leave Tampa Bay to go to Washington?
Yeah.
But...
I'd rather go to center school.
If for some reason Tampa Bay said, listen, we're done with this experiment, then Washington, I think, works. That's my number four.
Number three for me, Jake didn't put it on his list, but Tampa Bay, I mean, obviously it's likely.
I think they're the most likely.
He's there right now. I mean, why move? But then again, there's all these rumors going around. He doesn't get along with people. But, I mean, it's obviously a huge thing. If he comes back to Tampa Bay, he's already there, and it's an easier move for himself.
Of course. I think it's the most likely. I didn't put it on my list because I thought we were talking about other places. Number three for me is one that he's been rumored to go to in the past. I don't know if it'll happen anymore, but they definitely need a quarterback. And that's the Saints. I think the Saints have excellent receiver talent in Olave Michael Thomas, Tre'Quan Smith.
Reunite with Sean Payton and go back to the Saints.
I don't think Sean Payton's coming back, but they got Kamara. They have a good offensive line. I think it's a match made in heaven for Brady, honestly. I think the defense is pretty good. They just need a good defensive unit, and Brady could easily... I mean, it'd be pretty disrespectful for him to go to the division rival.
Yeah.
But it's been rumored before, and I think he would do it. I don't know why he wouldn't. I think the Saints would be a great landing spot for Tom Brady.
My one and two are the spots that if he leaves Tampa Bay, I think he's going to go to one of these places.
Interesting.
Easily.
I'll say the same thing.
Number two for me is the Las Vegas Raiders. Josh McDaniels is there. You know how much Josh McDaniels and Tom Brady have a hard-on for each other. Derek Carr is gone.
Yep.
They need a quarterback. Tons of weapons with Adams.
They're my number one team, by the way. Why wouldn't he want to go play with Davante Adams,
Waller,
and Josh McDaniels, and Waller, and Renfro, and Josh Jacobs?
Nice weather. I mean, all the elements are there.
Yeah, it's like...
And you get Josh.
Think of every, like, major music star. Whenever they're done doing their world tours, they always end with their Vegas tour. They have a time slot in Vegas. They spend weeks there. They perform. People come in to see him. This is Tom Brady's point in his career where he's like, I'm just doing my Vegas tour.
So that was one?
That's my number one.
What was your two?
Number two is the Tennessee Titans. I think that is really a match made in heaven. Young receiver Treylon Burks, who I think could be a good player. They could get another receiver. I don't love Robert Woods, but...
I think that team is beaten.
I think Derrick Henry has got some juice left in the tank. I think Tom Brady, Derrick Henry is a scary thing to think about if you're going to play against them. And it's an excellent defensively coached team. Not the best, you know, player-wise. I mean, Devin Lloyd's really good. But I think that they're well-coached defensively, and Brady wouldn't have to worry about a thing but get 20 points on the board every week, and you have nearly an undefeated season.
If he leaves, I think the Titans, you
don't think he'd want to go be with Vrabel?
No, that's the only thing that I like is Vrabel being there. But besides that, I see nothing good about Tennessee.
Okay.
Treylon Burks is good.
I think Brady has recognized in this run with Tampa Bay that a strong run game makes his life so much easier. And what stronger run game is there than Derrick Henry?
Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
I got San Francisco one on my list. Again, if Brock Purdy leads him to the Super Bowl and wins it somehow, they're not going to say, oh, Brock, see you later, or something like that.
I think at this point it's already decided they don't need a quarterback.
But if Tom Brady wants to go home for his farewell, whatever you want to call it, he says he wants to play one final season.
Yep.
He wants to go home, has all his family there, his mom, his dad. San Francisco's team is stacked from top to bottom, defensively and offensively. I think it's either going to be Vegas or San Francisco in the end.
So what happens to Trey Lance in this equation?
They said he's probably going to miss at least a month, half of the season next year with his injury, so it's not going to matter too much. And Jimmy G, Jets, some team that needs a quarterback like that.
So you think Vegas. I mean, I think Jimmy G's got a good shot in Vegas.
If Brady says he wants to come home, he's coming home.
So
Purdy's not going to stand in the way.
Purdy does not have a job. So you think...
I think it gets complicated after next year if that happens.
Well, after... I mean...
Then you have
Purdy. Brady's not contracted beyond that.
Yeah, but...
They could just let him go.
They could trade Lance. You never know with that team.
I mean, I think it makes sense only to say to Trey Lance, like, hey, we are expecting you to miss a good amount of time. Here's the best mentor you could ever have.
Yeah, and then they'll have three of them, whatever it needs to be. Brady sit out a couple games to get who knows. But hey, I think it's Vegas or San Francisco or obviously Tampa Bay. So that's the Brady segment to start one quarter of the show.
Tom Brady.
Three up and three down. First off, wildcard weekend was pretty good, right? I mean,
yeah.
What were four of the six games single digits, I believe?
Yeah, just the
first and
just
the last.
San Francisco and the Dallas game.
Yeah, so I mean, overall, you got some very good games out of this weekend. And even the first game, the first half was very good. So overall, I mean, you saw some good games. You saw talented teams. You saw good backup quarterback play for a decent amount of the games with Huntley and Skylar Thompson. They worked their asses off to even be competitive in those two games, which I was very, very surprised by that, those games being that close. And then, unfortunately, you saw the old man lose last night. But overall, four of the six games were very, very close games. And if you had asked me what the best one was out of them all from top to bottom, I think, I mean – the way Jacksonville came back from 27-0 down was really cool.
That game didn't keep you on the edge of your seat.
The one that kept you on the edge.
You wrote it off.
The Buffalo-Miami game was very entertaining.
That one was very good. Miami had a late game lead. I think the Giants and Minnesota game was really good too.
Yeah, back and forth. I mean,
the Cincinnati game wasn't even that bad.
Minnesota pissed me off that whole entire game. But yeah, the Cincinnati game wasn't even bad either. I mean, I'll get to that in my three up and three down. But overall, the only game that really didn't keep you on the edge of your seat for the majority of the game was last night.
Yeah.
Because the first game, the first half was, what, 17-16? It's a pretty good weekend. But overall, you got to have three ups and three downs somewhere around here. So starting with the downs, Jake, what's your number three down from Wild Card Weekend?
Tom Brady.
Tom Brady, not on the list.
I just think Tom Brady wrote the team off. I'm not going to say they were definitely going to win the game if he played better. But that interception really was a bad one. He missed a few throws that were playable balls. I just think that their game plan wasn't what I'm used to either. I think they normally play the run game like as an extension of the passing game a lot. Like they check down to White or Fournette, and those guys were not touching the ball very much at all.
It was a bad operation top to bottom.
Yeah, and I just think that it all start the offense starts with Brady, and I just. I don't think that they put up a performance that I'm proud of. He's definitely not proud of it. So he gets it down for me.
My number three down is the Vikings defense. Thought it was horrible. Couldn't even make one stop that was maybe they...
Darius Slayton was running wild.
A minus two run, but I didn't realize the Vikings defense was 30th in the NFL in the regular season. But now I see why, man. They have a lot to work on in the offseason if they want that team to go back to the playoffs as good as their offense is. That defense struggled big time.
I think
their
division's getting easier. So,
and I don't think that Giants team offensively is that great either. As good as Barkley is, Daniel Jones looked like a friggin' superhero in that game.
He was running a lot.
The Vikings defense had absolutely no answers and didn't look like they wanted to be on the field at all.
Right.
And my second down, keeping it in Minnesota territory, I get two Minnesota things on my downs list. That fourth down throw from Kirk Cousins to end the game, what are you doing? It's fourth and four.
Threw it like a yard.
And you don't even get it past the sticks or throw it on the sticks. I mean,
I've seen that a lot.
You're playing for your
really
life.
I don't get it.
And you don't throw the ball. That play had no chance of being a chance or any chance. Horrible decision by Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
Season over. Game over. Hopefully Kirk Cousins' Minnesota career is over.
Well, it's definitely not.
That was horrible.
I actually have a Viking on my downs list as well. Number two, I have Dalvin Cook. I didn't know this because he's such a talented running back. You think like, oh, you know, and you remember all his like, you know, late game, like catch and run,
heroics.
Like big play. Yeah, something. First off, he didn't do any of that in this game. There were no heroics. I know everyone in Minnesota was like, we need Dalvin Cook to do something big right now. And he didn't do it. I also found out that he has the most rushes for loss in the entire NFL.
Yeah, I saw that.
Didn't know that, but thought I'd throw that in there. I didn't think he put up a good performance. He had like 60 yards and like 20 more in the air, but he averaged like 4 yards a carry, and he didn't break off any big runs. Like normally, even if you're like,
he deserves to be a
even if you got like stuffed like 4 times in a row and then but you break off like a 40-yard run in between, like you can at least say, well, I got us into field goal range on that drive, or I set us up to get that touchdown.
He didn't do any
of that. Yeah, he didn't do a single thing to put them in a position to win the game. He only hurt them, in my opinion, so I'm giving Dalvin Cook a down.
And then I guess that leads us to our final downs. I'm giving a down to not just one person, but a whole organization, and that's the Los Angeles Chargers organization is my number one down, top to bottom, 27-0 against the Jacksonville Jaguars, and you decide, you know what? Let's not show up for the second half.
They got 400.
We won the game. It's over. We're moving on to the next round. We have Super Bowl hopes.
They were thinking like that. They were thinking about Kansas City.
But you see Trevor Lawrence in his lasagna-looking hair celebrating at the end of the game like they won the Super Bowl, and you lose a 27-0 lead. I don't care who you're playing. 27-0 lead. It's pathetic. Staley should get fired. He's not going to get fired because it looks like they just got rid of the OC and the quarterback coach today. But that Chargers operation, it seems like every year they just find a way to blow it.
Big time. I'm starting to feel bad for Herbert because he should have a more successful career than he does. He honestly, I mean, speaking of Chargers, he's given me like Philip Rivers vibes. Like, they're not to say I actually think he's more talented than Philip Rivers.
Yeah.
But it's the same deal where the other elite quarterbacks of the conference, Mahomes, Allen, Brady,
they get far.
Manning. Those guys are the ones that are going to continuously, and Burrow, continuously be the ones that, you know, reap the benefits of the postseason, right, the AFC. And Herbert's left here waiting for his turn like it's never going to happen. And I'm starting to get a little worried about him. He may have shown up at the wrong time because those guys are going to own the conference every year.
They do
own it. And I don't know where the Chargers fit in anymore.
You got to start somewhere. Because
they should be up there, but they're not.
It wasn't even on him they blew the lead as much, but I mean, still. You got to find a way
to keep a lead. He got 7 points. Big. They win the game.
Yeah. So our three ups from the week. Number three up for me is the only guy that's on the up list that was in a losing effort.
Ooh, I have one of those.
You know who led the league in receiving yards this weekend?
Don't tell me it's Gerald Everett. Because
no, it wasn't him.
Oh, Gerald Everett's on my up list.
The guy that had the most receiving yards this week on wildcard weekend was DK Metcalf. Thought he had a great game.
He did have a massive
Unfortunately game. For Jake, he couldn't have done that at the end of the regular season a little bit.
Wouldn't have mattered.
But overall, I mean, DK Metcalf, for all that Seattle did to lose that game in the second half, he was tremendous, catching everything that was thrown at him, made Geno Smith look a little better than he probably was, but Metcalf definitely saved his best game for last. Unfortunately for him, he won't have any more.
Yeah, props to him. I mean, it was a losing effort, but he definitely gave him a chance. They took the lead because of him. That's a good one. I put in Gerald Everett for an up because we
were 100 yards.
He had over 100 yards, and every time the ball was thrown, he caught it. It was extremely impressive.
Good play.
I'm going to give him some props because Keenan Allen didn't do much. Josh Palmer was nowhere to be found, and same with DeAndre Carter.
Neither was Mike Williams.
Mike Williams is out of the game. So Gerald Everett is the receiver to show up and do some damage. I mean, he's the reason they had that lead in the first half. So,
yeah,
got to give Gerald Everett an up because I don't think anyone else
losing is guys through. Is the number three up, I guess, this week. Number two up for me is...
That?
The door. A mouse.
Hello.
Number two up for me is the Bengals red zone stand at the goal line. Great stand, great play.
Oh, the punch out?
Ravens would have been up 24-17. Sam Hubbard.
How about the return? That was so good.
Yeah, that was ridiculous. 14-point turnaround on just that play.
Yep.
Who was it? Logan Wilson that poked it out.
Definitely.
Sam Hubbard running like the wind. You see him with
he
his
was
oxygen.
Moving.
A lot of people think it could have been a block.
Well,
in the
it
back,
definitely was
which
a block.
It probably was.
It definitely was.
But can you imagine if the refs called that in Cincinnati? I mean,
I would have called it.
Yeah, it looked like
I
it was.
I would have called it and died in the parking lot.
It was kind of similar to the one from the Marcus Jones punt return.
Yeah,
and they won the game against the Jets.
It was 100% an illegal block.
But I mean, you let him get in there. Could be talking about Baltimore and Buffalo, I believe it would have been this weekend. Or Kansas City. Yeah, Kansas City.
It would have been Kansas City.
So, I mean, it's a huge stand, huge portion of the game.
My number two up...
They take the lead.
...is the San Francisco skill positions. Because it's hard to pick one, but I'm definitely not giving the up to Brock Purdy because he made maybe... one or two throws that I was actually impressed by. Everything else was either wide open Brandon Ayuk downfield or a check down to Debo, Kittle, or CMC and then just let those guys go to work. So I'm going to give it to the skill players because maybe I should be giving it down to Seattle's defense instead. But these San Francisco skill players could not be matched. And it seemed like as soon as the defense decided, okay, we're not going to let Kittle do anything. We're not going to let CMC do anything.
Too many weapons.
Yeah, it was Debo's turn. It was Ayuk's turn. There was no way to stop that many guys from doing what they can do when they're that talented. And I got to give credit to all of them because they make that team look fantastic. They are probably going to get Brock Purdy a contract.
That's
somewhere.
Up. Oh, no, that's true.
They're probably going to get Purdy a contract somewhere, so he owes them money.
Yeah. My final up of the week, the wild card week, Tampa Bay's defense wasn't great last night, but I think that was the best game I've ever seen Dak Prescott play in a long time.
Also my number one up.
Especially coming back from that game where he looked horrendous last weekend and last week of regular season.
It was the best game of his entire career.
Made no mistakes, really. I mean, one throw that I was thinking, but overall...
It was the best game of his entire career.
I don't know why he doesn't decide to run the ball more, because he can. Like, during the regular season, I think he averaged, 14 yards per game running.
Interestingly enough, I think in his first 3 years in the league,
he ran it more.
He led all quarterbacks in rushing touchdowns.
Then he's kind of stopped a little bit. I mean, obviously they have two good running backs.
Like 7 rushing touchdowns, like his first 2 years, to like 14 in his first 2 years.
The dude looked fantastic, and if he keeps on looking like this, they'll beat San Francisco, and not only beat San Francisco, but carry them to the Super Bowl. So if Dak can keep playing like that,
who said they'd be in the Super Bowl?
You.
That's right.
So we'll see what happens. But man, Dak looked very, very good last night. That's your number one as well?
Yes, it is.
Good for Dak.
Dacky.
All right, so now Dak. I assume this is probably our last show before one of these. There's only 5 head coach openings right now in the NFL. I feel like every offseason there's more, don't
you? You only gave me 4.
There's, oh, did I not type the 5th one? There's Indianapolis.
I didn't put that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
There's Carolina, Indianapolis, Arizona, Denver, Houston. You need to reassess now?
No.
So, just like the thing we did before, kind of, with the Brady spots, if you're an NFL head coach, I mean, obviously not. They're not the best openings. None of these are freaking playoff teams, but that's usually how it is.
I disagree. I think one of them is actually a really good spot.
No, like, playoff teams that just
correct
win the playoff. But there's a couple of good spots, I guess, but I guess what's your least favorite spot out of the 5? Like I said, Indianapolis, Arizona, Denver, Houston, and Carolina. Usually they start getting filled in pretty soon.
Yeah. It's tough. I think 2 of them are pretty bad. Actually, 3 of them are pretty bad.
And Jim Harbaugh just announced today that he's coming back to Michigan, so he's not coach.
My number 5, as in the last place I would want to go head coach, is the Colts. I think their defense is strong, but old. I think their offense is significantly lacking talent. Quarterback's out the door. They're going to have to draft a guy.
The Colts for me are at 3. I'll tell you each one.
I like Jonathan Taylor. Their offensive line is absolutely terrible. I think Michael Pittman's going to leave. I think they're going to be left with next to nothing offensively, and it's going to be hard to look good as a coach when your team can't score. So I would never want to go there. And I think that they're in serious trouble.
Somehow it seems like they always have like a good operation over there. Maybe I'm thinking too highly of them.
Why won't they just keep going with Saturday?
Yeah.
I'm not kidding.
I don't know. I wouldn't go with Saturday as much as I'd go with Patricia. But I don't know. I just think he doesn't have experience and it was a weird hire from the first place. I mean, I wasn't expecting it, I guess. Number 5 for me is the Houston Texans. Only thing that's going for me with this team is they have a high draft pick this season. Most likely going to draft a quarterback. But besides from that, the high draft pick that they have, I think this whole roster is so depleted. Pierce is a good running back.
He's nasty.
But besides from that, when you have one of the worst offensive lines in the league, when you have mostly no skill positions at the wide receiver position, when you have a horrible defense, this Houston team has been pretty much bad for their entire lifespan in the NFL. Just Houston.
Deshaun Watson.
Houston does nothing for me. Yeah, Watson was good. But again, even with them, they couldn't get too far. Houston just does nothing for me. But again, they're most likely going to have a good quarterback once they select one.
I went back and forth on number 3 and number 4, so I guess I'll say them both. At 4, I have Carolina, and at 3, I have Houston.
Yeah, mine's 4, Carolina, and 3, Indianapolis.
Okay. And, you know, I agree with you that I think Houston's in trouble, and they probably won't make the same decisions I would make. And I do think they have to draft a quarterback. It just it makes the most sense. But I actually like Davis Mills. I think he's a good quarterback. I think he can go get a job somewhere else, probably. That's a hard take, Bridget. But, you know, I think that they actually have some things going for them. I like their organization. I think they're capable of being better faster than Indy.
Then what do you think overall from Carolina? I mean, Sam Darnold looked good the last couple weeks of the season. Obviously, he's not going to be the answer there.
I think they have no direction. That's the problem.
It's because, a middle team.
Yeah, because if I'm Carolina and I come into
good middle.
Right. If I go to coach Carolina, the problem is you're going to be scrutinized for whatever decision you make. You either say, hey, you know, we got Darnold and he's got plenty of career left in the tank. He's a high draft pick. We have a sufficient running game with Foreman and Hubbard, and I like our receivers because we have DJ Moore and Terrence Marshall. And I think we can win some games. So you go out and sign a couple of free agent defensive players, and you go out and you win 7 games, and you're proud of yourself, and everyone hates you. Or
everyone will
hate them. Or you decide, let's skip that part and just blow it up right now. And then you're left with what? Who do you keep? Is DJ Moore too old to start a rebuild? Do you trade him?
I think the roster's pretty good.
Do you like Chuba Hubbard? Do you keep those guys? What do you do?
Well, they already got rid of McCaffrey.
Right, but what do you do? I think that they need to rebuild, and to me, there's too much to let go of to start the rebuild. So it's a very
complicated and they both have a lot situation. Of cap space because they're
yeah not good. I don't know, and their defense sucks. So I don't. That one's a tough one for me.
Mine's like Houston, Carolina, and then Indy.
Indy, I mean,
I just think Indy's defense is legit.
Indy, you could probably plug a couple guys, and it'd be a decent team. But they have to be good guys.
I mean, what are they? They've had a different quarterback every year for like the last 5 years straight or something.
They had
Rivers, Wentz.
Wentz, Ryan, Brissett.
Foles for a while. I mean, it seems like every year with them is different.
And they had Brissett for a year.
So we have the same bottom Andrew three Locke. At least. Yeah, Andrew Locke. Number two for me is a team that I mentioned earlier.
Arizona.
The Arizona Cardinals.
All right, so we're in agreement here.
I mean, D-Hop's probably not going to stay.
I don't even think it matters. I still think the team is better. Their defense, Buda Baker's fantastic.
Their defense is all right.
I think their defense is better than the other ones we've been talking about. I don't know if Kyler's going to stay or go, but I mean, you're talking about this team having the potential to land Tom Brady. So
they just had Kingsbury.
Right, so why would you not want to be here over other places? I mean, James Conner's like a veteran running back. Their offensive line's okay. I think you sign Kyler, you take or leave it with D-Hop, go get somebody younger if he goes away.
They have better history than Carolina.
They can draft somebody. Yeah, they can turn it around fairly quickly.
They were just in the playoffs. What, was it last 2 years ago?
Yes, it was last year.
Last year, I mean.
Or no, they won like 8 and then like lost a bunch.
Yeah, so 2 years ago, but I mean, still, it's a great place to live.
And then we both have Denver as our number one. Because to me, because that's the only one left.
Yeah, you got Russell Wilson.
Why didn't it work? Is it because of the
Nathaniel
coaching?
It had to be a combination.
Then you go get another coach and you're successful right away. That's all you need. The only thing that
I think they might get Sean Payton, honestly. I think that's where he's going to end up.
I think they'd be fantastic if they got Sean Payton. The only stupid thing I think they did all season was trade away Bradley Chubb, because I don't know why you would ever do that.
Bridget, we both said no.
Rewind the show, Bridget. He's coming back. Why trade away Bradley Chubb when you're what you want to call a contender? I didn't agree with that move.
What, they get like top three round picks?
I don't know. I mean, Miami's a good team. What are you really going to get from them?
And Denver's defense is still, even without Chubb, it's still pretty good. With the secondary, I mean, they've lost some guys from the past.
Alex Sertan.
Yeah, and Simmons. They got a good
secondary.
Their
offense is good. I think Judy and Sutton are fine. I like the tight end combo of Obadubada and what's his name?
Albert Awuka-Bukabum.
Yeah. And Greg Dulce.
Oh, yeah.
They're fine. I think the offense is fine. Better play calling. I mean, it's almost what we talk about with New England every week anyway. So, good run game when Williams comes back. So, yeah, I think they got it going. They need to get a couple offensive linemen, get a couple defensive linemen.
Yeah, work on the line. Super Bowl. You need to work on the line. I mean,
that's it.
And Russell Wilson's been there for 1 year. A lot of times, takes getting used to.
But your Tom Brady.
He and Nathaniel Hackett. So, Houston, Carolina, Indy, Arizona, Denver, and then you had what? Carolina? No, Indy?
I had Denver, Arizona, Houston, Carolina, Indy.
Yeah, so those are the openings right now. Feels like D'Amico Ryans has already got an interview for each one of these five positions. He might be the one that goes to Houston because he played a lot of his career there. But either way, we'll see what happens. Let's hit on the NBA and NHL for a little while, really quick here. You see what some of these superstars in Boston are doing lately?
Putting up 50 points?
Yeah, no, 51. But come to think of it, David Pastrnak and Jason Tatum, in the latest NHL and NBA MVP ballot, both of them are in the top three for each of their leagues right now. Okay. These guys have both been having insane seasons. I mean, insane careers with their teams. But right now, they're both on a historic pace. And that brings me to the point that one of the main reasons these guys are on such a big, huge pace right now, both these teams, the Celtics and Bruins, are at the top of their leagues. And usually you don't see that a lot from maybe one team, but the Celtics, top of the NBA, Bruins top of the NHL, as bad as the Patriots season was, got some things to look forward to towards the spring here.
We absolutely do. I would like to speak to the MVP thing. I won't speak to the NHL because I don't watch it enough, but I do watch plenty of NBA, and I think I have a pretty valid opinion. I'm very proud of what Tatum has done and this team has done. I think there's a 0% chance he wins MVP.
Zero?
Zero.
What if Jokic gets hurt?
Luka.
I mean, they're both on a crazy pace right now. I think sometimes they put it in consideration. What if they have the best record?
I think the media is infatuated with highlights and box scores. I don't think they even watch the games anymore. I think they just say, wow, look, Luka had another triple-double.
But they want to see him win back-to-back-to-back, too. They could.
That's the only thing.
Who's won back-to-back-to-back MVPs?
Michael Jordan.
Yeah, I think that's it.
I mean, it's hard to say Jokic will win it too because of the bias of not wanting, you know, the what do they call it? Voter
bias?
No, voter fatigue is what they call it. They get tired of voting for the same player repeatedly. But I think Jokic is making a great case for it. And if I had a vote, I'd give it to him. He's easily the most efficient player in the NBA. And like I said, these guys are...
And Giannis isn't in the equation?
These guys, no, he's not. He's missed time, and they're not as good as the Celtics. That's all it takes to not be it.
Yeah, I think Pasternak's more likely to win the MVP in the NHL than...
These guys in the Western Conference are doing something different. I mean, Jokic is fighting for a top seed anyway, so when you're talking about Boston versus them, I get we have the best record in the NBA, but he's not. They're not far behind. Not enough for me to be like, well, this guy was fantastic, and this guy was really, really good, so I'm going to give it to the really good guy because he had 8 more wins. Like, that's not what I'm going to do.
What's he averaging right now, 31 a game?
Who, Tatum?
Yeah.
Yeah, but Jokic is averaging like a triple-double as a center.
Yeah, Tatum's third in the league and scoring 31 a game. Yeah, 8 rebounds, 4
Jokic
assists.
Jokic is like so outside the spectrum of what an efficient NBA player looks like. He is redefining what efficient is because it makes everyone else look like shit. He is on a completely different plane of existence. And if he doesn't get it, I do think Luka will get it because he's the exciting player, whereas Tatum's just the guy that leads a good team.
No, I got Tatum over Luka right now. A lot of it has to do with the way that Dallas is playing lately, too. They're like a 500 team. There's still a whole half of the season to go.
But they...
All they have is Luka.
Don't you think people look at that and say, look what Luka can do with nothing around him? Meanwhile, they say, well, Tatum has Brown. Tatum has Horford. Williams, yeah, Smart.
Well, Brown obviously takes away a lot from Tatum. What's Luka averaging? How many more points than Tatum? Like
at
one?
At least 3.
Is he averaging that much?
Probably.
I think he leads the league in scoring right now by like a slim margin. NHL-wise, I think Pasternak is probably first or second. Him and Connor McDavid at the top right now. I believe McDavid has like 2 more goals than him this season right now. But especially looking at standings, more regarding to when it comes to the NHL, the Bruins are far and away the best team right now. I think they have 9 or 10 points on the second best team in the league right now.
That's incredible.
You usually don't see that a lot. They have like 1 regulation loss at home. That was not a shootout. Well, I mean, it's just unbelievable what they're doing.
Are going to keep pulling away too because Durant is out for a short period of time, but enough that Brooklyn's going to take some losses. And Milwaukee is in and out too. I mean, Middleton's not healthy. Giannis is resting some games. I think the Celtics are going to have a significant lead at some point in the conference. I don't know how well they'll finish. I won't speak to that. But it's going to be theirs to lose.
And Dave, yeah, I mean, the Celtics are obviously at the top. And Pasternak, second in the league in goals, already has 35 goals on the season. He's on pace for a little below a 70-goal season for a hockey player. That's pretty incredible. Didn't happen last season. Probably going to happen with 2 or 3 guys this season. And not only that, but he has 62 points as well, which is tied for 3rd in the National Hockey League. And the great thing about both these guys is it's not like we're talking about veterans here. We're talking about Jason Tatum, who hasn't even turned 25 yet, I believe. And David Pasternak is only 26 years old. I mean, these guys should be in Boston for a very long time.
He's only 26?
Yeah, he looks like he's older with his teeth. But, I mean, overall, they got some good things going for them right now, and it's pretty cool that you can be talking about both these teams at the top of their league with their top players in the MVP conversation.
There's no way in hell that both win MVP. The world will not allow it.
Both win MVP and both win it all. Yeah, that'd be a fun time.
They'd call it like the year of Boston.
Let's take a quick look at the NHL and NBA standings. It's more than halfway through. Who do you think is the worst team in the NHL right now?
You're asking me to take a completely random guess here. So I will say the... Can I have 3 guesses? I'll take 3 guesses.
Yeah, the Bruins?
No. Minnesota Wild.
The Bruins, the Wild, and the Ducks.
I thought you said the worst.
Yeah, the worst.
What are you talking about?
Bruins, Wild, and Ducks. I give you 3 choices.
Oh. The Ducks.
Yeah.
You were telling me those were my guesses.
No, yeah, the Ducks only have 29 points, 12, 27, and 5. But overall,
how are the Wild doing?
The Wild, I think they're pretty mediocre. They're 24, 15, and 4, 52 points. Better than mediocre.
I almost said San Jose.
But if the season ended today, the Eastern Conference playoff teams would be the Bruins. Look, they're 13 points ahead of Toronto in their division.
Doesn't mean anything.
Toronto, Tampa Bay, Carolina, New Jersey, the Rangers, and the 2 wildcard teams would be Washington and Pittsburgh. Well, actually, Pittsburgh and the Islanders are tied with 50 points, so I don't know how the tiebreaker really works in the NHL. Scissors. Skate, scissors, shoot? No. So overall, the East –
Everyone lines up and they fight each other until one team wins.
The Eastern Conference is really only five teams that have like a great record, and that's Boston, Toronto, Carolina's 27-9-8, New Jersey and the Rangers, and then from there on out it gets pretty mediocre. And then there's actually no very bad team in the Eastern Conference either. The only team that has more than five losses than wins right now is Columbus. Everyone else, besides from that,
you mean like they're within five games of being 500?
Yeah, everyone is, except Columbus is the only team in the East that's not, which is pretty crazy. And then Montreal is within five. So the East is pretty stacked together.
Nice.
Any cool winning streaks right now? The biggest winning streak in the East, New Jersey's won five in a row.
Impressive.
And then in the West, you got your playoff teams right now are Winnipeg. Geez, I didn't realize Winnipeg and Dallas were at the top. Winnipeg, Dallas, Minnesota, Vegas, Seattle. The two new teams are at the top. Vegas, Seattle, LA, Edmonton, and Calgary. But the only difference in the West is you have at least four teams that are not within five. And that's Anaheim, San Jose, Arizona, and Chicago. So from what I can see here, is the Eastern Conference having a better season? Or at least there's less parity in the Eastern Conference? But
there's more parity in the East.
I mean, yeah, more parity in the East. But if you ask me who's coming out of the West right now, I have no idea. Colorado is the team coming off a Stanley Cup Finals win last year. They're only five games above 500.
As long as they get in.
And if you want to find out who has the craziest losing streak or winning streak in the West, Arizona's...
Look it up for yourself.
Arizona's lost nine in a row. No team's winning a lot lately. So that's it right now. The Bruins have a 13-point lead on Toronto and Winnipeg and Dallas, which is pretty extremely insane.
Yeah, extremely insane.
Let's look at the NBA. Any cool winning streaks you think in the NBA right now? Or losing streaks?
Losing streaks... I'm wondering what kind of losing streak Charlotte is on. I don't think there's any bad ones. Charlotte is on.
Actually, yeah, there is one bad one. Charlotte's lost five in a row, the second longest losing streak in the league right now.
How about the Spurs?
They have lost five in a row.
How about Houston?
11.
There you go.
They've lost 11 in a row. Houston's at the bottom of the league right now with a 10-34 record.
That's pretty good.
And then Charlotte's second at 11-34. Winning streaks, you know who's at the top? Winners of 10 straight games?
Memphis?
Memphis has won 10 in a row.
Wow.
Celtics are next, who have
won. Are they first? They're not even first. Denver's first.
Tied with Denver.
How are you going to tell me that Tatum has any chance at MVP over Jokic when Denver is number one in the West?
They get three more wins.
Oh. Oh, they have three more wins?
Denver's very... Look, they're 11-10 on the road, 19-3 at home. But right now,
you're damn good.
Let's take a look at the playoff team. So right now it'd be Boston. Actually, go by, yeah. It'd be Boston, Brooklyn, Milwaukee 3, Philly 4, Cleveland 5, the Knicks 6. And then the play-in would be Miami, Indiana, Atlanta, and Chicago. I guess if you look at it, it's kind of the teams that we expected at the beginning of the season to be there.
I thought Toronto would be there.
And they're basically there.
And I didn't, they're think, tied with Chicago. I didn't think the Knicks would be there.
I thought the Knicks were going to be pretty good. I think I had them at like 44.
How about the Pacers?
Yeah, I had...
Shocked to see the Pacers top eight.
Yeah, the Pacers, they've been good the whole way, really.
They actually have. They started off a little slow, but Halliburton is a good player.
And then, yeah, the bottom, you got three really bad teams. Washington's not good either. Oh, my God. And then the Western Conference, right now your playoff teams are Denver, Memphis. The Pelicans are still there at three. Sacramento is four right now, which is nuts.
Light the beam.
Dallas, five. Clippers, six. And then...
Golden State, Utah, yeah. Minnesota, Portland.
OKC's a half game out of the play-in.
Yeah, and they're ahead of Phoenix.
Yeah, so right now.
Now.
San Antonio and Houston, you knew would be at the bottom.
It's early in the year, but.
It's more than halfway through
there's
now.
One prediction that I will keep in my mind for when we were all on the show. The two of you said one team would be very good, and I said they would be very bad. Do you remember what team that is?
In the West?
Yes.
Portland? Lakers?
Yes.
Honestly, I had them like 10 games above 500.
How are they doing?
Four games below. What do you have them at?
Pretty bad.
They're playing better lately. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games.
Yeah, all it took was LeBron having to do everything.
They haven't had Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
They'll make a trade. I mean, I don't know.
They'll make a trade.
You don't think?
He
what,
says they'll make
a they're trade. They're 1.5. What's up, Mark? They're 1.5 games out of the playoffs right now.
They'll make a trade.
You have your NBA standings?
Yeah, there you go.
And then the big surprise right now is Phoenix at 21-24.
Here we go. I had the Lakers at 40-42.
On track, almost.
Yep.
What do you have Sacramento at? Utah, 16-66. They're
working on it.
Utah's been a huge surprise.
Sacramento, 38-44. I think they're going to do better than that.
Yeah. So we'll see, but right now...
Cleveland is the sixth seed. That looks pretty good.
Right now, there's about two or three teams, like the Pacers, the Jazz, really...
That are mucking exceeding up my, expectations. My predictions.
All right, let's get to college basketball for a quick segment here. Then we'll give you our final predictions.
Yes. College basketball.
This is called Three Frauds, Three Legits, and Three Players. You better watch out for when the calendar flips to March. Who's a fraud to you, Jake, right now? You got any?
A team?
Yeah. No, Masca.
New Mexico. I think their record is inflated by bad opponents, and the only times they've played tight games, they've lost. And I would assume they're going to be a tournament team, either by bid or by winning that tournament.
Yeah, they don't play in a great conference, but...
But I could easily see them being a 7 that loses to a 10, or, you know, something along those lines, where they, you know, the record gets them a high seed, and then they just fall flat to some good conference team that didn't win their conference.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going, like, pants off crazy over here about the New Mexico team, but then again, do I think they're a fraud? They play in a pretty bad conference right now, which has been better this season, actually. Only thing I think they really have going for them, you know what they say, when you get to the tournament, you need to have good guards. They have a good backcourt. A lot of NBA connections in that backcourt with Jalen House, the son of Eddie House.
Yay.
And Jamal Mashburn Jr., who's also a good player.
Every team probably has the son of someone on it. Yeah, it's college basketball. It's not the NBA.
Yeah, they got dads, I hope. I mean, a lot of them. But either way, there's good guards there. They've been playing good basketball. They were one of the last unbeaten teams in the nation.
Yeah, that's why I think they're frauds.
But since then, they've lost two out of their last three. What do they have, two losses now, I think?
They
two
have
or three.
Two losses.
So overall, could be frauds. Could be Sweet 16, probably not. We'll see. Can they win? Can they get to the second weekend is my question.
Absolutely not.
That's winning two games.
No.
Fraud number one for me. Team that's playing tonight in a big game at the Octagon of Doom, or Doom, or however you want to say it, against Kansas. The Kansas State Wildcats.
Okay.
They're really good this season for some. I think the reason why they're playing so well is because Jerome Tang, their head coach, was a top assistant at Baylor for many years. They've only lost two games. Their best player, Marquise Noel, has had one of the best seasons of his career. Second best player, Keontae Johnson, is the guy that collapsed and I never thought would play again at Florida. Those two have been a terrific 1-2 combination. They're only 2-point underdogs tonight against Kansas. I think that has to do with the rivalry and the game being at Kansas State.
Yep.
But I don't think this team is going to be that great. I mean, right now, they'd be a tournament team, obviously.
They're ranked.
They're in a good conference. They're ranked. They have already 14 or 15 wins. But those two guys, I should say the surrounding talent really doesn't do it for me there at Kansas State.
Okay. You want my second one?
Yeah.
My second one is a team, you know, honestly, I could see going second weekend because they seem to show up come tournament time.
You're protected.
But I honestly have no faith in them as anything legitimate, and that's Rutgers.
You know what it is with Rutgers?
They just always seem to pull out some win they shouldn't.
No, it's their home court. They always win at home.
Yeah,
home
but they don't have that in the tournament. So I think they go down.
There's nothing sexy about
Rutgers.
Rutgers.
They could go second weekend. They could.
Are they top? No, they're borderline top 25.
No, I think they're ranked like 24.
Borderline top 25-ish.
Yeah, so I mean they're there. People think they're good, but I have no faith in them when they get neutral site.
It's a home court. They always step up against these big teams at that home court. I don't know what it is about them.
Hard place to play.
It's a hard place to play. They play great defense. They have a good coach. But yeah, Rutgers doesn't really do it for me either. But then again, it seems like every season I screw up that team somehow, some way in the first round of the tournament. Last year was Ron Harper Jr.'s team.
Ron Harper.
Number two for me is a team that just lost to Kentucky, and that's the Tennessee Volunteers. Thought they were much better last season. To me, they just don't have that one star. Last year, they had Kennedy Chandler. This year, they still have Vescovy, and they still have Zakai Ziegler, and they still have great defense and a great coach in Barnes. But they don't have that one guy that I can say, you know what, you got to be scared to face off against him in the tournament. He's going to go off. They're still a top team in the nation, but they just don't have that guy that I look at it as like, wow, he could really lead them pretty far in the tournament this season.
Yeah, I'm with you. I like them to be like a second weekend team. I think that they have enough talent spread out throughout their team to get some wins. But I agree. I mean, anyone thinking that they have what it takes to win it all, I'm not so sure. My number three is Auburn.
That's my number three.
Nice. I mean, they're a fine team, but I just don't.
That's funny.
I think they beat every team they are supposed to beat, and every time they play a legitimate opponent, they don't seem to match up well.
And they lost their two best players from last year, who are both actually doing good. Well, Walker Kessler
is
doing pretty.
Smith is not doing that
well. Walker Kessler had 20-21 last night.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, they lost two guys. They have good guards. There's something about this team where they tried to get in Johnny Broome to kind of replace Walker Kessler. And he's really not the guy to replace him. He's good. The guards are too erratic for me, and that defense isn't that great either. Bruce Pearl coaches his ass off, but I don't think he got it with this team. Three legit teams, and I'm not saying like I didn't go with the top teams in the country here, but
I went with two of them.
One of them I actually went with a pretty good team. You know how much I like Xavier, so I had to put him on the list.
Okay.
One of the best starting fives, if not the best starting five in the nation, in my opinion.
Okay.
Solly Boom, Kobe Jones, Adam Temple.
They got offense.
They have a ton of offense. They have a great head coach in his first year in Sean Miller, who's been there before. Only thing that concerns me is their defense is not good at all.
No.
But again, they can hang with any team.
Teams that win it all need to be able to play offense.
They can hang with anyone.
Nobody said anything about defense, so they got a chance.
Xavier's on the list.
Sure. Not on my list, since we're only doing three teams, but I definitely thought about it. I'll bang out the first two because they are higher-ranked teams. The reason I put them on is because I actually don't think that every high-ranked team is legit. We've talked about some. I mean, I didn't put them as a fraud, but I have no faith in UCLA to be a legit team. I think Arizona's kind of fallen off a little bit. I mean, they could easily come back around. They have the talent for it.
They're losing.
But I wanted to put two teams in there because I've watched them lately, and I felt like these two teams exemplify
hard work.
Championship grit. I don't know what you want to call it. I think they have what it takes to go all the way. The first one's Purdue. They've been hanging around the top all year. They've had a couple close games. I mean, yesterday they played
Michigan State,
who I don't love, and they only won by a point. But they toughed out the win. And
Zach Edey's the national player of the year right now.
Yeah, and Edey's playing an incredible game, brand of basketball. It's going to be hard for any team that doesn't have somewhat size to take them down with him in the middle. You'd have to get him in foul trouble real quick. But as soon as that happens, they could lose a game. So
the Boilermakers.
I think healthy, out of foul trouble, that team is very hard to beat. The other one is Kansas. Probably my favorite to win it all right now.
Back to back?
Yeah. I know. I think that they, both ends of the floor are trouble for anyone they play. I don't know who can match up with them on both sides. It's a tough one to beat.
Yeah, it's just hard to win back to back.
First two I just threw out there. Do you want me to just say the third at this point? Third one at this point is actually a team neither of us have really talked about the entire year. But I think they're stepping up. I won't say they're like legit championship contenders, but I do think that this team has sneaky potential for a run. That's Iowa State.
Yeah, they've been really good.
Don't love the offense, but you don't need offense to get through the first weekend.
That was so random. I wasn't expecting Iowa State.
You don't need offense to get through the first weekend, and this team
they play a tough game tonight,
gunks up other teams' play. So I can easily see them making the tournament, playing a team that got there because one guy was putting a whole team on his back, and Iowa State just clamps them.
They play home against Texas tonight.
Yeah, and I don't know which way that's going to go because Texas is kind of a fraud too. But Iowa State knows how to gunk up another team's offense, and they can do enough on their own offensive end to come out with some tight wins. Like I said, I don't know if they have what it takes to go all the way. Yeah. I don't think they have enough offensive talent. I think their leader averages like 13 a game.
Gabe Kalischer.
Yeah, so but they could easily grind out some low-scoring games until they meet a team that is too much to handle.
All right, so yeah, my number one was Xavier. I have another team in the Big East. They're only 10-8 right now, but it's another team. It's another team. They have a great offense. Defense isn't too good, and that's Creighton. When Ryan Kalkbrenner, their starting center, is in the lineup, they've only lost two games.
You love Creighton.
I think their offense isn't as good as Xavier's, but it's pretty close.
You're either going to have a top five bracket in our pool or a bottom five bracket in our pool.
Yeah, it's a boom or bust
bracket. Because Creighton is either making the Final Four or losing in the first game.
Yeah, and that's – I mean, if they keep their offense together – one of the best starting fives in the Big East, if not the country, Xavier and Creighton both.
We'll see if they make the tournament.
They're kind of on the same page for me. And then my final team.
They might have to win the conference tournament to make the tournament.
The only thing is the Big East has like four or five teams, so you gotta obviously win those games. But already eight losses is a lot.
That's what I'm saying.
And then my final one that I went with, just a little wild card team out there that never gets talked about. Actually a very good team. I don't think I'd say probably the most least recognized team in the country just because Gonzaga is in their conference. But you know who's having a hell of a season? Is the St. Mary's team.
They're good.
They're really good.
They're good. Actually, I saw...
They play great defense.
Interestingly enough, I was watching Gonzaga the other day. I forget who they were playing.
BYU?
Yeah, BYU. Thank you. And The big topic of discussion was there's no winning in that conference.
St. Mary's is.
Because you either get beat badly by Gonzaga.
Yeah, they won by 40 though.
No, but you either get killed by Gonzaga and everyone says, well, Gonzaga's just that team playing in a bad conference.
Yeah.
Or you play well against Gonzaga and everyone says, I guess it's a year the whole conference sucks.
Yeah, so you're screwed either way.
There's no coming out of there as a winner. But I'm down to see that be disproven. I think that St. Mary's is fine. They're a very strong defensive team.
Yeah, the second best team in the conference.
So we'll see how it goes.
Great guards. They get great big men. They have most of their guys that returned last season that are still there today. I don't think they have any guy in the NBA. Do they have anyone in the NBA? Is Malik Fitz in the NBA? I don't know.
No.
But there might be someone. But St. Mary's, they're a good product every year.
It's like asking if Fitz in the Tantrums is in the Rock Hall of Fame.
Yeah. They're not. They still perform?
I don't know.
All right, so those are our three frauds, three legits, and then three players who you don't think are getting enough attention?
Well, I mean, it's hard for me to say who's not getting enough attention. I'm not John Rothstein over here.
Jewish.
Yeah, but close enough, I guess. So I just wanted to pick out some guys that I think are on good teams that
I love John Rothstein.
Yeah, that aren't just getting enough attention nationally, I guess. I mean, I'm sure they are getting enough attention. I'm just, you know, wanting to point out guys I think are good. Number one's Isaiah Wong. I feel like he's obviously talked about as Miami's best player. But
what? I don't know why.
Isaiah Wong. He's obviously talked about as like Miami's best player, but
he was bad yesterday, but they still won.
I don't think he's discussed nationally as one of the best players in college basketball, and I actually think he is.
I think they have him drafted right now somewhere.
Yeah, he should be drafted, but I mean, a lot of guys get drafted that suck. So I think he has the capability to win games they shouldn't be able to win in the tournament.
Do they play tonight?
I don't know.
I think they... No, they might not.
They don't play. So
four ACC games tonight, none of them is in Miami.
I'm about it. I'm about Isaiah Wong. I think he's a good player that is not getting enough recognition as somebody that can take over and win a game for his team, and he can definitely do so.
My number one guy that I said is not getting enough...
three players I've never heard of.
Enough recognition, even though they're one of the best teams in the country, is Jairus Walker. You know what he plays for? They're top five best team in the country right now.
Okay.
Probably top three best team in the country right now. The team I never talk about.
Don't say Houston.
Yeah, Houston. Oh. All that people talk about with Houston, their Sasser. Guards are so good.
Sasser,
Mark, and Shed. But Jairus Walker, let me look it up really quick. I believe he's averaging close to at least 12 points a game right now, and he's a one-and-done freshman. The guy's 19 years old, born in 2003.
Let me see his face.
Black. Let me see. Let me go on ESPN.
Hurry up.
But Jairus Walker, like I said, that's all they talk about is the guards on this team. But he's a freshman. He's a one-and-doneer. He's most likely going to be a lottery pick, according to John Rothstein and others, and his face won't load. But no, he's averaging 10 points a game, six rebounds a game, 6'8", 240.
6'8", 240.
People love the guards in Houston, but this guy's not a guard. He's a small power forward, you want to probably call him. Shoots 48% a game. He's averaging 10 and 6.
Can he play on the wing?
I think he shoots threes. I don't know if they go in, but this guy's a major reason why.
I'm talking about getting the NBA here. If you're 6'8", 240, you got to shoot threes.
No, I think he's realistically projected like top 15 right now to get drafted. That's
impressive.
So, yeah, he's number one. Number two for me is another great team that's lost four of their last five games lately. I think this guy might be the best three-point shooter in the country. Jordan Hawkins for UConn. I think he's a great shooter. Another guy that's going to...
Grady Dick's the best shooter in the country.
Yeah, Grady Dick probably. But this guy is going to be in the league next season. He's a great shooter. UConn hasn't had a shooter like this in a long time. Jordan Hawkins is a guy, one of the main reasons why UConn's been so good. They have fallen off a little bit, but Hawkins is probably... Him and Sanogo are their best players, and Andre Jackson's good as well. UConn's good.
You want my number two?
I'm not down on UConn just yet.
My number two is... Maybe I'm just hopeful here, but I love watching Tre'Quavion Smith play basketball.
Another NBA guy, probably.
Yeah, sure. But, again...
They're in the top 25, I think.
No, they're not.
They're not right now?
Again, I just think that it's a team people are not counting in for really anything. I'm not saying they won't make the tournament, but I don't think anyone's saying, well, NC State could make a run. So, I think that they could.
Good guards.
good. Tre'Quavion Smith is fantastic. He's a guy that could easily go out and get 35-5 whenever he wants.
They're like Miami. That's John Rossi says Miami, more guards than Shawshank.
Yeah.
Kind of the same.
Yeah, and NC State similar, but I like that big mass of a human in the middle.
Oh, that Burns guy?
Yeah, Burns.
That guy's so big.
Yeah, he's a beast. So
They come to BC soon.
Yeah, I think NC State could make a little run. Tre'Quavion Smith could easily hit some big shots. He's a big shot maker. He's a late game guy. I'm about it.
When do they come to BC?
I want to talk about Tre'Quavion Smith. I think he's pretty good.
Yeah, and they did great on the transfer portal. They were a team that was picked towards the bottom of the ACC, and you look at it, these guards are good. They're coming to BC February 11th, Saturday at 12 o'clock.
Let's go.
Could be a good game.
See you guys there.
And then my final guy that is on the list, Jake already talked about the Purdue Boilermakers, so I'm going to talk about a guy that I believe...
I'm talking about a player on a team that you already talked about.
You are?
Yeah.
I think this is Purdue's second-best player this season, and it's really not even close anymore. His brother is on Dayton. That's Fletcher Lawyer. But I'm talking about Foster Lawyer, guy that's been the best guard on Purdue this season, wasn't there last year because he's a freshman, shooting the lights out in these last couple weeks here lately. And we talk about it all the time. Purdue lost Ivy last season. They lost Travion Williams. They needed some guys to step up.
Yeah, I mean, when you
Foster Lawyer is that guy.
When you think about it, losing those two guys was probably like losing, you know, between
Kobe and Shaq.
Between scoring and assists was at least 40 a game.
Yeah, and they're top in the country. They brought back Edie, but that's didn't like bring back.
You lost half your scoring last year, and you're still the number one team in the country.
Yeah, this Foster Lawyer, I mean.
Number two.
I didn't really know too much about him. I knew that he had a brother that was on Dayton. But this guy, for the freshman, he's been one of the best players in the nation.
This guy?
And I meant Fletcher Lawyer. I said Foster Lawyer. That's his brother. Fletcher Lawyer. They look. I don't know if they're twins. No, they're obviously not, but. He's been great. He's been one of the main reasons why Purdue has been so good this season. He's the point guard. He's scoring 13 points a game. He doesn't assist that much, but...
No, he's a guaranteed shot attempt every time he touches the ball.
And his name's Fletcher.
Fletcher.
So that's it. Oh, Jake has one more.
I got one more, and you know what I'm realizing? You didn't let me say my number three down either because you went on to the ups.
You didn't? So,
no.
Who was it?
Jalen Waddle. Dropped everything that was thrown. Yeah, they probably would have won if Jalen Waddle caught.
He was waddling his way off the field.
If he caught some balls, they probably would have won the game. So, back to what we were talking about. A team you mentioned, actually a player you name dropped earlier, and I was like, ooh, I'm going to talk about him a little bit. Zakai Ziegler. Seemed like he was way more prominent when Tennessee had Chandler and they were higher ranked. But now that they're, you know, middling around that edge of 25, 20 area. Seems like nobody's talking about him. And I think he is easily somebody that can take over a game. Maybe it's his small size. People disregard him. But he's a big shot maker. He's quick with the ball. And I think that if Tennessee's going to make some kind of run, it's going to be through him. It's going to be through him.
He's one of the quickest in the nation, I think. All right.
You have to be when you're like 5'8".
Good players there. But let's get to the NFL finally. We'll give you our predictions for divisional weekend, but just like we did last weekend, what do you think the most intriguing games are? Only four now. There's only, what, 8 games left in the whole NFL season now. Divisional weekend.
I think it's extremely easy.
KC Jacksonville. Four. Least intriguing
games. Yes, I didn't rank them. I just picked the one I thought was most intriguing.
I get KC Jacksonville.
But I would agree that is the worst game. Yeah, okay, fine. I'll do it quickly right now. That is the worst game.
But again,
it's hard. It's honestly, I can't.
Jacksonville,
I can't
you never know.
I can't pick after that because I do think that sneakily.
I think you know what one is. I think I know what 4-1 are. 2-3. I had a like.
Fine. Cincinnati and Buffalo is the game everyone is anticipating seeing. I just don't think it's going to be one of those games.
What do you mean? You think it's going to be one of the 2 or 3? Is what you're saying?
Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is.
I think my second most anticipated game
I don't know who – I do know who is going to win the game. I'm certain of it. But more than a score in that game.
Cincy Buffalo?
Yeah.
I get number two for me. I have Dallas-San Francisco being the second most anticipated game.
Okay. Sure.
As much as Philly Giants is a division rival.
Yeah, I think that's fine.
Dallas-San Francisco is going to be a good game.
I think Philly Giants is actually going to be a great game too. And
I mean, I have all these with it. I got my score predictions.
I love who moved on. I'm excited for all these games. And actually do. I want to talk about the Philly Giants game in particular because I picked it as my number one most intriguing game. Because what do you expect out of this game, right? Like
a lot of defense.
A novice would say this is Philly's game to beat up on a team they've already played twice this year. But you have to remember this is their third time playing them. Teams don't.
They say it's hard to beat a team three times.
Teams don't like to play each other three times. They're favored by over a touchdown. I think that's ludicrous to do such a thing to a team that just beat somebody else that they were an underdog against.
Well, did you make score predictions?
No, I did not.
Well, I get Philly winning this game 24-17. I think they win by a touchdown. I think that Giants defense is going to settle down against this Eagles defense.
See, here's the thing. For the same reason I think Kansas City will kill Jacksonville, I think that the Giants and Philly will be an extremely close game, and that's because of the bye. I think the Chiefs get the bye almost every year. They are accustomed to having the bye. They like having the bye. They get rest. They come out strong. They know it's the playoffs. They do their thing.
So you're saying you have the Giants winning?
No, I don't. But I could very easily see Philly stumble. Byes do not help every team. This team could easily come out soft.
It hurts as 100%
go down 10
either.
Points and then struggle to come back because they're nervous. It's the divisional game and they don't know what to do.
It's just going to come down to this Philly defense. I think they're meant to play against a Giants team like this. And, you know, Daniel Jones running his ass off against Minnesota. I don't think that's going to happen against the Eagles.
Interestingly enough, there's one player that turned the tide for me in picking the Eagles over the Giants.
Who's that, Hurts?
A.J. Brown. Yeah, I don't think they have anyone that can stop him.
They did their best they could on Jefferson, and he still had a pretty good game and couldn't stop Hawkinson.
Yep.
Yeah, I get the Eagles winning 24-17. It's interesting because it's a divisional game, and they've already played twice. And again, Philly's played like the hottest team in the league for a majority of the season.
Did Connor send his picks in?
Yeah, Connor has Philly. So we're all on the Eagles there. And then, so that's the Saturday night game. The game before that on Saturday.
The Giants spread.
The game before that on Saturday, the first game of the weekend, is Kansas City and Jacksonville. Not many people saw Jacksonville here. I mean, not too surprising. Both those teams were kind of close.
I'll count them out.
Close.
If they did what they did against the Chargers, there's no way Kansas City would lose that game.
What's your score prediction for Kansas City-Jacksonville?
Literally off the top of my head.
We all got Kansas City, by the way. Connor's Kansas City, too.
33-20.
I said 32-20.
Okay.
Yeah, so I have Kansas City. That's funny. That was close. What are they favored by?
Right off the dome.
I think they're favored by 8.5.
Yeah.
I think Jacksonville's offense will be fine, just not enough against a team like this.
I actually like Kansas City's defense a lot. I think they show up at the right time every year.
Yeah, coming off a bye, Mahomes has done it before.
That's what I said. They're comfortable with a bye.
Hurts hasn't done it before.
This team isn't like nervous about playing in the playoffs. They're like, we have Jacksonville, let's kick their ass.
And then moving on to Sunday, I think the two best games, well, the most competitive games are going to be on Sunday, in my opinion, or at least score prediction.
I'm excited by both games for sure.
Cincinnati-Buffalo, the first game on Sunday.
Yep.
Me and Connor both actually have the same team in this one. Let's see who you got.
I have the Bengals.
Me and Connor both have the Bengals. Oh, all three of us have the Bengals.
Shit. There's no way they win now.
34-30, I have the Saints. Even though I said Buffalo would go to the Super Bowl, now
I'm
it's a different
you,
week.
Right now, that game is not going to be a one-score game.
You think they're going to blow them out?
I wouldn't call it a blowout. I don't think it'll be like a 17-point game that the Bills turned into 10 at the last minute. But
both these teams aren't running the ball that well lately.
I think the Bills, I don't know what it is. To me, it's so obvious that...
Since he's pissed from that last time, too.
Obviously. I think the Bengals were going to murder them that game. I don't know why. It seems with such talented players, it should be easy to make some kind of shift in this regard. But they make some kind of horrible mistake in every game.
Josh Allen, you mean?
And it doesn't matter who they play. They could be playing the Jaguars on a Thursday night. They could be playing the Colts at Sunday at home. They could be playing the Chiefs. It doesn't matter. They always make some kind of mistake that seems to cost them the game.
And you can't make a mistake like that against Cincinnati.
No, you can't, especially in the playoffs.
Like Tyler Huntley did.
And it's not like – this isn't like last year's Bengals where it's like, oh, like – this team shouldn't be here. Like, the Bengals clearly think they're the best team in the conference. They are eyeing a Super Bowl. Why wouldn't they be? They're not that they're looking beyond Buffalo, but I think they're looking at every opponent they play and saying, we know we can beat them. Let's go do it. And they're not coming out soft. They're coming out hard, ready to kick some ass. And I just don't think Buffalo has that same mentality. I think they're all over the place with the injuries and the am I going to make a mistake? And we're here every year, but we've never won.
I think it's going to be a close game either way.
I don't think they have it mentally. I think Cincy capitalizes on mistakes and wins the game.
Like runs it up on them?
No. I'm going to say final score. It's lower than you said. I'm going to say Cincy 28, Bills 17.
Wow. Yeah, so 34-30. And then the final game, Dallas, San Francisco, two teams, great histories, both organizations. Mm-hmm. San Francisco's at home. I wasn't too high on either team entering the week. Obviously, I thought San Francisco was going to beat Seattle. Me and Connor are on, the only game we're on opposite sides of is this game.
Interesting.
Connor has.
You know who I have in the Super Bowl?
Dallas. Connor has San Francisco. I have Dallas winning this game, 27-21.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. All of a sudden, you have Dallas winning a game?
Yeah.
Who'd you have winning the first game? Tampa Bay.
I know, but they beat them.
You saw something last night.
Not really. I'm not on the Purdy train. And against Dallas, he hasn't seen a defense like this
yet. I'll tell you right now, I'm 100% not on the Purdy train. I think I can play quarterback for that team and get four wins in the regular season. But I think Dallas is a different team.
We both had him in the Super Bowl last year.
Who, Dallas?
Yeah, that didn't work out too well.
No, it didn't. And it probably won't work again this year. But I think Dallas wins the game. Seattle is not a very talented team.
You mean San Francisco?
No. Seattle is not a very talented team. I don't think they really belonged in the playoffs. And they showed that they could hang. I mean, they didn't do anything in the second half because of proper adjustments.
So it'd be a close one.
That's not how it works against Dallas. They have too much going on.
Two of the top defenses in the NFL.
Yeah, we'll see about that. I mean, there's a lot of skill positions to cover for in San Francisco. So I don't know how much that'll work for Dallas. Dallas seems to let up a lot of yards.
What's this, 6:30 game, I think? It's going to be an interesting one.
Yeah, but I am going with Dallas here. I think that top to bottom, they've less holes.
6:30. Yeah, I mean, these are great.
Give me the offensive line.
San Fran's favored by 3.5.
San Francisco capitalizes on poor offensive line and trench play by other teams, and I don't think Dallas gives them that advantage there, and I think that the Purdy train has to come to the station at some point.
On Saturday, Kansas City is favored by 8.5. Eagles are favored by 7.5.
That's too much.
Sunday, Buffalo's favored by 5.
Nope.
And San Fran's favored by 3.5.
All day.
Chiefs taking all the plus money.
Except for Kansas City.
But it should be exciting. Not too many disagreements, though, this week on the game, so we could all be fucked.
What about the current standings?
Yeah, you guys are two up on me.
Connor and I both went 4-2. Is that right? Or 5-1?
No, I went 3-3. Unless you went 4-2.
Went 5-1.
Yeah, you both went 5-1.
Cha-ching.
We'll see this week.
I should have said the Giants. I don't.
You did. It should be interesting. Four games.
Kirk sucks.
At the end of this week, we will be at the AFC and NFC championship games. Pretty fast season. Pretty fast show.
I was thinking about that a week like 17.
Yeah. Have a good night, everyone. See you.